So I'm going to revisit something that is really, it's fundamental, it's foundational, but it's vital to our survival in this battle. Whether we like it or not, we are in a spiritual war. You know, when you come to Jesus, you become a turncoat to the devil. He's a sore loser. He doesn't like it. He wants to keep his claws on you, but Jesus wants you completely free. Not just partially free, completely free. Free indeed. Amen. So there are some things that we need to really come to grips with and understand in our spirit. And they're foundational to our victory. The title of today's message is called Living Victoriously Over Sin. Living Victoriously Over Sin. And can I ask you to pray with me for a moment here? Father, we thank you today for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace, for your abundance, Lord, that you have, Lord, lavished upon us today. Lord, we love you. We look to you for guidance, for counsel, for wisdom. Everything that we have need of is in you, Lord. It's not of us. We understand that. God, we ask you for help, for grace. Give us understanding today, Lord. Open the eyes of our understanding that we can receive your truth today. That, Lord, it won't fall on stony ground today, but, Lord, on the good soil. So, Lord, prepare our hearts to receive, our ears to hear what you are saying. In Jesus' name, amen. You have heard it said, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And sometimes that statement is used as an excuse for someone to indulge in sin. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Sometimes what people are really saying is, I'm a sinner and therefore I can't help but sin. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and because I'm a sinner, I just can't help myself. I can't help but sin. Is that actually a biblically correct statement to say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace? I think a better way to word it is, I was a sinner, but I have been saved by grace. Now, I know sometimes when you hear that, you may say, well, are you trying to say that you're without sin? No, I didn't say that. I'm talking about identity, who I am as a person, as a new creation in Christ. By identity, I'm no longer a slave to sin under Adam, but I'm a new creation in Christ. Therefore, I am a son and an heir, amen, with Jesus. And therefore, as a son, I have been given many privileges and rights, amen, to come, for example, with confidence before my Father in heaven, with my requests. If you're a son and you go into your father's house, amen, you don't have to ask permission to eat, unless there's very little to eat. But in our father's house, how many know there's plenty to eat? All that we have need of is freely given to us in Christ. It's available to us. We simply need to go to our Father and ask. And so we come with confidence, not based upon our own goodness, but upon the goodness that Jesus imputes to us. It's His righteousness, you see. Hallelujah. So sometimes, guys, you know, we're trying to excuse ourselves. Instead of being responsible for my actions, sometimes it's just easier for me to say, oh, well, I'm only human, therefore I do what humans do. We sin. Well, that's true. We do sin, but we're not sinners by definition. And you have to understand this, because if you think that you are, then you will be. What you think will determine how you actually live your life. If you believe that you are a slave to an addiction, then you'll remain an addict. If you believe in the power of God and that Jesus Christ, through the blood of His cross, has set me free from that, amen, and I just need to walk in my freedom and receive that freedom, then you walk free. Because what you believe determines what you receive in life. If you believe that you're a loser, then you will live like a loser. If you believe you're worthless, then you'll live a worthless life. Am I speaking truth today? So what you think about yourself is important. And how you see yourself needs to be not according to how you see yourself, but how does God see me? I need to know what God thinks about me. Amen. It doesn't matter what I think about myself, because usually my evaluation of myself is, well, it's not very good. My vision is obscured. I need the eye salve of the Holy Spirit. I need God to clearly show me who I am, what I am. But often we can evaluate ourselves by ourselves and think within ourselves that, well, I'm not so bad. I'm not as bad as Joe over here. I'm not like other men, you know. So therefore, I'm only human. Yes, I know I got this thing that God doesn't like, but I'm saved by grace. Therefore, I can continue to indulge in that thing. How many know that that's not the purpose of salvation? The purpose of salvation is to bring you into total freedom and to deliver you completely. Hallelujah. So are you saying that I do not sin as a Christian? No, that would be a lie, wouldn't it? 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, past tense, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Hallelujah. Fellowship with God requires that we acknowledge the truth concerning ourselves, that we're honest. Notice that John makes a distinction between sin and sins. Sin here refers to our corrupt evil nature. We were all born with a corrupt evil nature, that Adamic nature, the sin nature. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But sins is really referring to evils that we have done. Evil actions, thoughts, words. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So to say that we don't have sin is to make God a liar. Amen. God sees it all. And I know there are some who may think that they have arrived at perfection, but you know, that's just not the case. We're all in the process here. And if we can just be honest about it, amen, that's the beginning point, all right, of being changed. But God doesn't give his grace to the prideful, you know, to those who think they are when they're not. That was the problem with the Pharisees. He says, because you say, I know, therefore your sin remains. He says, because you think you know, even though you really don't know, you're not going to humble yourself and come to me that you might have life. Because you think that within yourself you are righteous enough to merit God's presence. So you and I, apart from Christ, are not qualified for God's presence. We cannot stand before the holy God in our own righteousness. Can you say amen? We need the righteousness that comes from Christ. Hallelujah. So the gospel, amen, offers us a way to salvation apart from works. Now, what we are naturally is a lot worse than anything we've ever done. This is the thing, is the world is trying to tell you that all men are intrinsically good and therefore there's no need of repentance. The devil wants to tell people that sin is not even a problem, that there's no such thing as sin, that actually you can do whatever you want and there are no consequences. And to the natural mind, to the Adamic nature that we were born with, that sounds great. I can go out and do whatever I want and there are no consequences. And that's why people indulge in sin. That's why you have indulged in sin. is because we have accepted a lie that says that there are not going to be any consequences for this. I can hide this and nobody will know and I'll get away with it. How many know that God sees in the secret place? Amen. But the devil lies to many people. Tells them they're good enough. Don't need to repent. You know, he tells people that they're good enough to merit heaven. Now, my wife and I worked in a nursing home for several years. And in fact, I spent a lot of time in nursing homes even before that, but we actually managed a facility for about 4 years. And you run into a lot of the old school, I've been a good person. I've lived a good life. You know, I've paid my taxes. I was a good, upstanding citizen. I was nice to people, you know. And therefore, God's certainly going to receive me because I'm such a good person. And you know, that can be very deceptive because before a person can actually be saved, they have to know that they're lost. And they have to know that they're not actually a good person because we were born in sin and separated from God. And so therefore, we've all sinned and fallen short. Amen? And that has to be the beginning point for people to come to an awareness that I'm sinful, I'm lost, and I must come to the only one who has the power to save me, and that's Jesus. But people won't sense a need for Jesus until they first know that they have a problem. And that's what the Word of God does. The law of God exposes sin in our lives. It points it out. So we become aware that we're sinful and aware that we need cleansing. And that's actually a good thing. That's the grace of God that comes in, amen, that reveals the fact that we are sinful. But if you're a child of God and you're born again, you're not a sinner by definition. You're still a son, but you still have that sin nature. And that will go away, guys, until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? So what it's like is two of us, all right? We've kind of got this split personality thing going on almost. Right? There's a part of you, amen, that's that Adamic nature that wants to rebel and do its own thing. And then there's this new nature that wants to please God. Do right. And that's a normal situation for a child of God, one who's been born again. Now, the good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome sin. The power of sin has been broken through the blood, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, so that it no longer can dominate a child of God who's been born of the Spirit. Yes, you still have that nature, but you have the choice as to whether or not you're going to obey that nature or the Lord. Are you hearing me today? And victorious life is simply choosing to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh nature. And so if the devil can convince somebody that they're just good enough in themselves, then they won't feel a need or sense a need to repent. That means to change their mind, to turn around and go the opposite direction of where they were going. So world religions, they enslave people by pressuring them to measure up to an impossible standard of righteousness. It's kind of like the carrot on the stick. You're reaching out for, you're almost there, but then it gets moved up a little further. Right? So that all your life you're bound by this performance thing of trying to achieve and reach for that place where finally I'll be good enough for God to love me and accept me. And so there's such bondage in religion because religion doesn't set a person free. What Jesus came to do is set us free from that Adamic nature. He came to set us free from ourselves. So we can walk in new life by the power of the Holy Spirit. To have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. No longer bound by fear or shame or guilt. Because the blood of Jesus Christ deals with all of that. Amen? Cancels all of that out in your life. So you can have a clear conscience towards God. Confidence that when you pray, you know your Father's hearing you. But if the devil can convince you that you're not good enough to be heard of the Father, then you won't have confidence in prayer. If you come to the place where you put your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and acknowledge that, yes, in myself there's no good thing, but Christ has made me righteous, amen, because I have received the righteousness of God, and that is Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. So together with Jesus, I have become now in Him the righteousness of God in Christ. And therefore, when I pray, I can pray with confidence, because the devil's after your faith. He wants to rob you of confidence towards God so that you will feel unworthy. Now think of that, guys. I said it before, but you don't redeem something that's worthless. We don't deserve Him. Yes, that's true. We don't. But God was the one who first loved us, even while we were yet sinners. Christ died. For by grace, Ephesians 2:8, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now good works are the result of true conversion, but not a means to conversion. Religions of the world teach people that they have to do, okay, in order to achieve, and hopefully if they meditate enough, or if they go to these holy sites, Salt Lake City, Mecca, you know, Timbuktu, wherever it may be, maybe even the local church. Some people think, well, that's the holy place over there. No, you are supposed to be the holy place. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, amen? And this is a house that we meet in, amen? Then we sanctify this house to the Lord, amen? So that we want God, amen, in His presence to be in this house, amen? But you and I are the carriers of God's presence. So don't think that the kingdom is over here or over there. It's within you, He said. Christ in you is the hope of glory. So if it's by grace, that means God's divine favor, right? It's His influence upon our heart. It's not anything that we have merited or earned. This is the thing, guys, is that we live in a system of merit. In this world, you do things and you achieve things and you get credit for the things that you do. But when it comes to your salvation, it has to be by the grace of God only. If you try to put yourself in that equation, apart from the fact that all God is actually requiring of us is to repent. Be done with you. Be done with your ways. Say, I'm a sinner and I'm in need of God's mercy. And I know I can't save myself. And so I beat my breast and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when God sees a humble heart, an honest heart, not somebody who's trying to pull the wool, because you can't do it. You can't fool God, amen? He knows if you mean business or not. I mentioned it last week, but again, I want to mention it. Guys, it's that 20% that we hold back on. It's that 10% that we hold back on. Sometimes that keeps us tethered to the old way. And you can't come free until you're fully in for Jesus Christ, amen? You still want to hold on to it just in case, well, that just in case will keep you there. It's not of works, but by the grace of God that we're saved. Now hear it, because we often stop there in verse 9. Look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Not patched up, but that word created means to fabricate or manufacture or form. So what God does is He recreates and makes us into something completely new. Okay? So we have a new nature, all right? God's Holy Spirit in us. And then we still have that old Adamic nature or the sin nature. So sin dwells in us, but sin is no longer our master. Because we're under new authority, amen? Under new management. Jesus Christ is Lord now of my life. He's now my master. And the master has set me free from that old slave master, amen? Pharaoh, the devil. By the blood of the Lamb, I've been brought out of bondage of Egypt, amen? And brought in to fellowship with the Lord. So it's very important that we understand what takes place and believe what God says about this. Otherwise, we will continue to believe the lie that somehow we have to be the agent of salvation. Do you understand? If you try to mix law and grace, in the sense that you're trying to do both simultaneously, you'll never have victory. As a matter of fact, in some circles, some people are so bound by performance and what's expected of them by others that are there that they fake it. Are you hearing me? They play Christian because they don't want to be judged. And you can't play this thing. Either you are or you're not. Amen? You're either in or you're out. And you can't be halfway in. You've got to be all in. You see, God can save what he has. Your life needs to be like that fishes and loaves of that little boy, amen? It has to be handed completely over to Jesus, because what he has in his hands, he can then bless and multiply. And he can make something beautiful out of your life, amen? And he can do a lot more with it than we can. As a matter of fact, we've already done enough damage as it is, right? But good works are the result of true conversion. So we were actually created in the Lord for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So again, conversion is not an eradication of the sin nature. Rather, it means the implanting of the new divine nature with power to live victoriously over indwelling sin. So God makes a deposit of his divine nature into us. Amen. And then he gives us the power to live victorious over sin, the sin nature. So we're without excuse in the Lord. See, God's grace is greater than all of our sin. When we confess our sins, they're forgiven. But the sin nature still lies within us. That's what we have to contend with on a daily basis. Can somebody say amen to that? So people who do not have this new divine nature in them cannot please God. If you're not born again, if you're not in Christ, if Christ is not in you, then you really can't please God. But there are many people around the world in all kinds of different cults and religions that are trying to please God by their works. Now, is God opposed to good works? No. The problem is sin. All have sinned and fallen short. Amen? Therefore, the sin problem has to be addressed. And therefore, that's why only through Jesus Christ is there salvation. There is salvation in none other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only through Jesus Christ, through his blood and through his righteousness, that we can be made right with God the Father. There is no other way. God has provided a way through his Son for us to be made right with him, to receive sonship, amen? So we're no longer slaves under Adam, but we're new creations in Christ Jesus, hallelujah. The old is gone, the new has come. And that's why we can come boldly to the throne of grace, because we have confident assurance in that what God has promised, he will do. Therefore, if I have sinned, praise God, I have an advocate with the Father, I immediately run to Jesus and say, Lord, please forgive me. And he is faithful and just to forgive me. Amen? And cleanse me from all sin. And so then I don't stay there and dwell in that any longer. I receive by faith the promise of God. Amen? And I say to the devil, speak to the hand. The accuser of their brethren is going to try to keep bringing it back and putting it in your face and reminding you of your past. Amen? We need to say, don't, no audience here. Amen? Not listening to that. And what I do often that helps me to say, Lord, I thank you for your promise that if I confess my sins, You're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me. Amen? And there's power in the Word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And you speak that Word out, amen? And not only the devil understands, too, that that's the authority, not him. He's subject to the Word of God. God didn't come into this world just to improve us. The world is saying, well, you just need to buy these self-help CDs and or listen to this music and center yourself. Center in what? Because in Adam, you're centering yourself in muck. Amen? You want to live a centered life? Let Jesus be the center of your life. Amen? The true foundation. Hallelujah. He is the strength of our lives. Amen. He is our hope. We don't find good things in us. We find our goodness in Him. Hallelujah. So, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know this so well. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. You know, Wayne had mentioned in the Sunday school this morning about people who say the sinner's prayer, but there's no change. And sometimes they think they're saved because they said a sinner's prayer. But a tree is known by its fruit. If a person's truly born again, their life will reflect that fruit, amen, of who their master is. If you're in Christ, there will be the fruit of the Spirit. So just saying a prayer, if your heart is not in the right position or condition to receive the Spirit of God, amen, the truth, then it's not going to change anything for you to say a prayer. If you don't have a humble, repentant attitude towards God, then you're not going to receive the grace of God that saves you. And listen, once again, the grace that you give yourself, it won't save you. You can try to say, I'm a pretty good person. That don't save you. What you need is to hear God say, I've made you a good person. I've made you a new creation. You're my son. You're my daughter. And my Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're my child. Amen. The words that the Lord spoke are very key here. If you're in Christ, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. So, how does that work? Well, every day we have to make a decision, don't we, who we're going to serve. Whether I'm going to bow down to my old Adamic nature, the sin nature that dwells within me, or am I going to submit myself to the Spirit of God? When I submit myself to the Spirit of God and I walk with Him, I have life and peace. I'm not in condemnation. I'm not in fear. I'm not in insecurity. Amen? I have confidence because God is my confidence. I'm not fearful because God is my strength. Amen? He's my confidence. So my sin nature is actually an enemy to God because my sin nature is in rebellion to God. And I cannot please God in my flesh. Again, Romans 7:18, this is Paul, and I know that nothing good lives in me. Well, that's not politically correct. But Paul said nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is what? Sin living in me that does it, the sin nature. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Has anybody beside myself had that problem? Amen. That is our natural condition apart from Christ. In other words, he said, I can't seem to get it right. But listen, it doesn't end there. Verse 22, he says, I love God's law with all my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Have you ever felt that way? Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Now, here it is. Verse 25, thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. And now, if you understand, in the original writings, there were no chapters and verses. So we need to continue in the theme into Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, what? From the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. In the New Living Translation, verse 2 says, and because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. So praise God, in Christ, I'm no longer a slave to sin, but a child of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm no longer a sinner by definition, but a child of God. And because what I believe to be true is what I will receive and how I'll live my life. If I believe the truth of God's word, I receive with faith what God has promised, amen, it is accounted to my, is deposited into my account. If I come to God in faith, believing that when I mess up, I have an advocate with the Father, I have someone who cares, who represents me, amen, who will plead my cause before the Father. If I mess up, I can come to my Lord, amen, my advocate, Jesus, and say, Lord, please forgive me. And your word said that you would. And so therefore, I thank you that my sins are forgiven. I receive by faith the promise of God. And now I get up and I get back in the race. Amen? See, the devil will sometimes, he'll beat people down. Over and over, it's like that broken record that plays over and over, over and over. Amen? It's time to take that record out and break it. Get rid of it completely. Amen? Quit listening to that other voice. Listen to the voice of truth. God has said that there's salvation in Him. God has said that there's forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. Amen? So don't beat yourself up. Get over it. Amen? Because God says you're forgiven. Therefore, I say, okay, I'm forgiven. Amen? I don't forgive myself because I can't. But God forgives me. And I just receive that. I accept it. Amen? Therefore, I can continue on this path, my journey, with confidence in God's promise. Because every word of God is true. Every word that God says is true. He never would lie. Because you are sons, Galatians 4:6, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. You become a worshiper in spirit and in truth. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So quit dwelling on sin. Quit dwelling on your past. Get your mind off what was and start trusting Jesus. Amen. In the new day. Acts 16:31, the Philippian jailer. Amen. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your household. Do what? Believe what God said. Believe the report that God has given us concerning His Son. Hallelujah. Are you forgiven today? Are you a new creation today? You're a child of God. Are you a sinner? Do you sin? Yes. But by definition, you're no longer a sinner. You see, this works even in, I'm sorry, but AA, you know. I don't ever agree with that idea that we confess to something if we're no longer in it and no longer bound by it. Why would you continue to confess that you're that? It's the same idea, you see. That's why I tell people, did you receive, amen, your forgiveness when you confess your sins? They say, yes. Then walk in that freedom. Walk in that. Don't allow any other thing to get in there. The devil wants to get in there with his lies. Because he's after your confidence. He's after your faith. Because he knows without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is me saying that what God promises, He will do. Because He is a promise keeper. He is faithful to His word. Therefore, hallelujah, I'm forgiven. And I thank You, Jesus, that my sins are forgiven because of what You did and my faith in what You've done. Hallelujah. Well, Hebrews 2:10 says this, God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children or sons into glory. This was God's plan. His desire was to bring many sinners, amen, into sonship. Not a sinner, but a son, a child, amen? Sons and daughters. And if it was right that He should make Jesus, and it was only right that He should make Jesus through His suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. So back again to fellowship with God. It requires honesty. I can't save myself. You can't save yourself. All the people in the world that through religious practice and formalities and rituals and sacrifices and all the things that people do, they cannot atone for their sin. They cannot save themselves. Only Jesus Christ can save you. There is no other name. You see, I find myself in trouble when I start to depart from the Lord in my thoughts, in my walk, and I allow other things to come in and to start to distract me away from my devotion to the Lord. Because what I find then is that the enemy waits for that vulnerable time to start getting in there and sowing his doubt and his fear into my head. Amen? He studies us. He's like a roaring lion, you know, Peter said. And he just studies the prey. And so we need to be careful to maintain a steady walk with the Lord every day. Amen? And focus on things above. If you're still a slave to sin, then turn to Jesus, amen, and be set free from it. And a saying I often use, I think, is this. If we pretend to be what we are not, we will never be who we were intended to be. And our pride sometimes gets in the way. And we don't want to let anybody know that we could have a problem or that we might be struggling with something or that I might be the one that's in need of prayer right now. Well, we'll let those other sinners go up there and pray at the altar. But for me, I'm always good. You don't have to be up here at an altar. You can pray right where you're at. Amen. But the thing is, it has to be the position of your heart. And the thing is that sometimes we're allowing the fear of man and pride of life and other things come in. Amen. And prevent us from doing what we need to really do to get something settled in our life. If somebody needs deliverance. Amen. Well, I don't want to admit I have a problem and I need these spirits cast out of me. So a person remains bound because, well, they've got to keep up with the Joneses, you know, in the Christian circle that they're in. And they want everybody to think that they're just Joe super spiritual. But, you know, God can't work with a person like that. He can work with the humble that says, God, I'm just a man, amen. I am human, amen. And I do have a sin nature, amen. And I can very easily get bound up in sin. I can very easily make a mistake. Or I may come to the Lord, amen. And I may be a new creation, but the devil's trying to co-inhabit me, amen. And God says, well, no, I want you to be completely free from those things. But then the enemy works on your pride and says, well, what will people think about you if you admit you have this problem? How about let's get over the opinions of men? Let's get over what other people think, and let's be concerned about what God thinks. And let's do what God wants, amen? Not what man wants, but what God wants. And if God wants me to repent, I'm going to repent. If God wants me to submit myself to get prayer, amen, for deliverance or whatever, or for healing, I'm going to humble myself, amen? You got to get over that pride thing. Hallelujah. Yeah, I don't think we have a problem with that here, do we? I don't know. That's something we have to ask ourselves, right? We all deal with pride. I do. You do too. We do get caught up sometimes in what people think. You know, now I'm not saying we go out and we be roughshod over people and we're careless and we're inconsiderate. And I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm just talking about that we need to walk in a freedom, okay, to say that, you know, what really matters is that I'm doing what's right before God. You know, some people are taking a lot of flack right now because they're standing up for truth and they're speaking truth. They're speaking truth out in the media. Amen. And they're under constant attack. Because the devil wants to rob you of your freedom of speech. You know that. But I thank God that there are those who are willing to make a stand for what is right. Amen. They're the world changers. They're the ones that are going to make the difference. And if we can all bind together and say, you know, we got to get over the opinions of men and let's be true to the Lord. Amen. Because Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you also. So make up your mind, amen, who you're going to serve today. Who are you going to bow down to? Amen. You're going to bow down to the spirit of fear or the spirit of Antichrist or the fear of man? Or are you going to bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Do you want your name confessed in heaven? Then start confessing him before men. Amen. If you want your name denied, then start denying him before men. Now, I can't confess him, you know, with boldness, especially under the opposition of the enemy, under threat sometimes. You know, what are you going to do? Well, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the power of God, amen, to enable you to be a bold witness for Jesus, because what he's called you to do requires the power of God. So you're relying upon him and not you, amen, so that Christ is being seen and heard. And we're not here to present ourselves. Yes, we're going to go along for the ride, amen. We're together with Jesus in this thing. But we really want Jesus to be the leader, amen. I want to say this one more time. To be converted does not mean that there's going to be an eradication of that sin nature. All right? To say that we have no sin is a lie. We have a sin nature. The good news is that you have power in Jesus' name over the sin nature. You're no longer subject to it. Therefore, if you choose to sin, it's because you chose to. The devil cannot make a child of God sin. He can tempt you. He can try to persuade you to agree with him and listen to his voice, but he cannot make you sin. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So who are we going to please? We're going to please the Lord. We're going to do that which is well-pleasing to him. When I'm confronted with a choice to make, whether to obey God or to deny him, I'm going to do what pleases the Lord. I'm going to say yes to Jesus and no to sin. Amen? When I'm faced with any kind of temptation, I have to say yes to God and no to sin. And I can do that because God has given me the authorization in his name, the authority as a son to say no. The devil cannot take advantage over me. As a son, as a daughter, he has no authority over you. Don't be afraid of him. Stop it. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But if he can get you to believe the lie that somehow he's got more power than the one that's within you, then he'll start to dominate and control you. He'll start to manipulate you to do things that you know you shouldn't do, but you're fearful and so you do it. You got to know who you are. You got to know who your authority, that you have authority in Jesus' name over sin. You're no longer slave to it. You're not bound by it. You can do what God said you can do because you can do all things through Christ, who is what? The strength of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to be afraid of that devil. Don't be afraid of the boogeyman, as we say, right? Because God has dealt with him already. He's taken care of him. And he's given you authorization in his name to cast these things out, amen, and take authority over them in Jesus' name. So why should we fear a foe that's already been defeated by our commander-in-chief? And we've been enlisted in his army, amen? We've been anointed, we've been appointed to represent him in this world. And God will back up his word. He's looking for someone who'll say, Lord, I'll believe you. I'll step out of the boat. I'll go with you where you want to go. We're going to go there. What do you want me to do? I'll do that. And I find that when I tell that old nature, that old sin nature, no, and I'm going to obey what God told me to do, amen, I'm always blessed. Amen. I'm always happy, amen, that I obeyed the right voice. And there'll be fruit, good fruit. And the Father will be glorified, and the Father will be pleased with his servant because you are willing to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. And the day will come when you'll see him, and that day every knee will bow and hear him say, what? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah.